I wasn't kidding and I wasn't teasing when I said that God does his work of recreating on Sunday. The gospel lesson showed us that very thing. It was on the Sabbath day that Jesus anointed those eyes of that man born blind, and he came seeing for the first time. That was God doing a work of recreation on the Sabbath day. Our sermon today comes from John chapter 9 and verse 6, and we're going to see this in a little bit more detail. The title of the sermon is Close Encounters of the Recreation Kind. John 9 and 6. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Our God and our Father in heaven, we would ask that you would help us to see this in a fuller perspective than perhaps we have in the past. But thank you for the bigger picture here, the picture of you doing your work of recreation on the Sabbath, and the work that you do each Sabbath day, the work that you've already done here today, and the work that's yet ahead today. And thank you for this gathering. Help us to be blessed, as truly we are, having been called by your name to these ends. In Jesus' name, amen. What we have witnessed at baptism is a close encounter. It is divine contact. You know, if I was Terry, I'd have that Michelangelo picture there of, you know, the creation of Adam and, you know, God reaching out his finger and Adam reaching in that point of contact there. Divine contact doesn't always, though, mean direct contact. Divine contact doesn't always mean direct contact. Because God uses what we would call means. The sacraments are means of God making contact with us, of our experiencing this close encounter, we might say. In the sacrament of baptism, the means, water. At the communion table, it'll be bread and wine, ordinary water, ordinary bread and wine. Water and bread and wine, whereby we have divine contact with God. Now, Protestants don't typically like this idea that God uses means. We tend to think, oh, that's for the other guys, and, you know, we do just the pure Word of God only, and there's no other means that God would use. No other physical objects, whether it's water, whether it's bread and wine, whether it's some other relic of sorts. We tend to not think that way as Protestants. But I want you to know that even the hearing of the word is about means. Did you ever think about that? Did you know that the hearing of the word is God employing a means? The pure preaching of the word of God is a means, no different than water, no different than bread and wine. Why is that so? It's so because sound waves, what do they do? When you hear the word of God, those sound waves, although they are invisible to us, they are real and they pound upon your eardrum. That's the means by which God communicates the gospel. And so just for a brief moment here, I want us to think of this even in this earthly way. So, you know, go ahead. If you haven't already, I want you to think about the movie Close Encounters. Now, I know for many of you, you're way too young for that. But some of you are old enough to remember this in 1977, that great Steven Spielberg movie. And more importantly, there's this concept of the sound waves. And the sound waves making for a connection. The sound waves with them pounding upon the eardrum means that I now have a close encounter. And so think about that five-note connection. Can we play that again? Anybody recognize that? No? You don't recognize that from Close Encounters? Look, this is a milestone for me. I've done something that even Carrie's not done. Right? He puts up 100 slides, and so I've opened new territory here. We have audio. That five-note connection there was all about contact and close encounter, supposedly with extraterrestrials. That's what the movie was about, between humans and something outside of ourselves. But the connection and the encounter that we are dealing with here is not merely an extraterrestrial. On some levels, you can say, okay, yes, it is an extraterrestrial because God is outside, extra, the earth, terrestrial. God is outside of earth. At least God the Father is, but Jesus did come to earth. And so there is some connection there. But we're not only talking about that, because we are talking about that which is divine. Not E.T. or some other alien. We're talking about God making a connection. And while the contact may not always be direct between us and God, it is always effectual. Just like if you're familiar with that, when we would hear that five-note tune there, we would say, oh, you know what? We're going to have contact here. Means that there is contact. Not always direct, but in our case, we have divine contact. And it is always effectual. It accomplishes God's purpose. God uses means to transform us, and transform us he does. Just like he used means here in John 9, and he transformed this man. Look at verse 25. He answered and he said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. This man was given new eyes. The divine contact that he had was effectual. Kind of sounds like Amazing Grace, which we sang about. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing Grace takes this to a whole nother level because in Amazing Grace, it's not just physical sight, which we see here, but even this gospel story went beyond physical sight because this guy had the insight to recognize Jesus as the Christ. Not only physical sight, but spiritual sight. I want you to look for a minute at something that cannot be viewed in any other way than an ontological change, a change in essence about who this person was. Look at Ephesians 5 and 8. This was our New Testament lesson. For you were, and this is Old King James here, but what it means is, for you were darkness. You were one time darkness. Once in the past, whereas I was blind, now I see. You were darkness, you are light. I want you to think about that. We not only abode in the darkness, We were darkness. And because of the gospel, we not only abide in the light, we are light. You talk about change. You talk about change. He's talking about who we are, who we were, and who we are now. The change is real. It's effectual. That's what the gospel does for us. We were darkness ourselves, but now we're light. God changes us. He recreates us. What are we looking at today? We're going to take a look at David, and we're going to see in our Old Testament lesson how David was changed. Of course, we're going to end up spending more time with the blind man, and he is changed. The same scripture here in Ephesians says that we all are changed. We were darkness. We're now light. And then the application is going to be for Mary Catherine, because she is now changed. And finally, we are all going to enjoy our own close encounter of the recreation kind when we come to the communion table. We'll be changed there. There will be divine contact, and that divine contact will change us. And again, though it is not always direct, it's going to be bread and wine, it's going to be effectual. It's going to accomplish God's purposes. Let's start back with our Old Testament lesson, 1 Samuel 16, verses 12 and 13, and that calling there of David. You've heard this story. You heard read for you the first 11 verses, how Samuel was sent to anoint one of Jesse's sons, and they go through all the brothers, and it's nobody, it's nobody, is there anybody left? And it's David. And by the way, he's keeping the sheep. What a picture of Christ himself there. No wonder Jesus is the son of David. David was keeping the sheep. But setting all of that aside, there is a lot going on in verses 12 and 13 here. First, we want to note that the initiative is all of God. He sent and he brought him in. Now, he was ruddy. He had a beautiful countenance. He was good to look at. The Lord says, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." God's work. What we saw this morning. God's work. What we're going to enjoy later on. God's work. This is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. There's a lot here. First, note the initiative. It's all of God. Secondly, note the means. God uses the oil anointed and poured out upon David. It was the application of the oil was the means. And then I want us to note here the permanent change that takes place. You get a little oil poured on your head, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and stays with you all the rest of your day. God used the means of the oil to make a change in David. This, what we just read in our Old Testament lesson, is a close encounter of the recreation kind. Again, don't forget our change, our New Testament lesson again, Ephesians 5, 8, and 9. It is God recreating us, not just placing us in a new environment where you walk in darkness. You were darkness. You're now light. God recreated us. How do we know that? Because we are producing the fruit of the Spirit. Now look, I can't do that in myself, in my natural, born, fallen, sinful state. I do not produce the fruit of the Spirit. We're just like David, who through the use of means, we have received the Spirit of the Lord. Now we do produce the fruit of the Spirit. Because God has changed us. But you know, the biggest blockbuster close encounter was our gospel lesson in John 9. The first five verses here, we read the story. We know the story. We've heard this story again. It's the second week in a row where we had a very, very long gospel lesson. Jesus shows up. He passes by here. And then there's this interchange. Jesus asks his disciples a question, and they can't answer. He ends up answering it he answers it as they asked, you know, who sinned. But I want you to note here the initiative. Just like with David, it was God's doing. Here, there's not even so much as a conversation between Jesus and this man who's born blind. You know, so much for self-determination and self-will. And I'm going to be what I want to be. This is Jesus imposing a new life and a recreation upon this man born blind. He doesn't have an opportunity to express his faith at this point or anything. He's just like Mary here. But God changed Mary, and God changed the man born blind by the use of means. And so again, note the initiative, all of God. Secondly, we want to note the means. Let's look at verse 6. I know you've heard this, right? Jesus spits on the ground. He makes clay or mud out of that spittle with the ground, with the dirt, and he anoints the eyes. The imagery here loudly echoes back to another story in the Bible. You know what it is? It's all the way back in Genesis. It's creation. You don't want to miss this. It's creation. That's what this is echoing back to loudly. This is a recreation. It is a recreation that replicates and then advances the story of the creation of man. Much has and can be made of all of this, but we see this ground here. And when we think about Jesus spitting on the ground is dirt or dust. That's what it is, just like in Genesis. Dirt or dust. And by the way, sand, dust, dirt, in scientific chemical classification, inorganic. No life in them. From that, God breathed life into man, and man became a living soul. You remember that from Genesis 2 and 7? The Lord God formed man from that inorganic, no life, dust of the ground, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Back in John chapter 9 and verse 6, again, Jesus is kind of viewed here, kind of like in Genesis where he's the Spirit hovering and then effectually changing and creating and forming the earth. That's the imagery here. He spits on the ground, the waters from above, so to speak, the life-giving waters from above. He's giving water, and the water is going into that ground, into that inorganic material, and it says that he made mud or clay. which, by the way, is an organic material. Take a piece of clay and it's organic. So he makes the clay or he makes the mud. And he anoints those eyes. And so what do we have? We have a change. What have we noted here? The initiative was that it was God. What did we note secondarily? Is that there was a means. And then thirdly, we noted that because it was God and because there was means, it also was effectual and there was a change. This man came seeing. He washes it off and he comes seeing, as it says in verse 7. You know the story of Genesis. And the close encounter there meant creation. Here in the Gospel of John, the close encounter means, and it brings recreation. What is the message? It's that God uses means. Make no mistake that it is God that is at work. Look at verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. It wasn't about the spit. It wasn't about the ground, the dust, or the dirt that became mud or clay. There was no magic formulation or paste that you could buy. It was that God was at work, utilizing the means. He did the work. Balancing out that passage there in John in chapter 9, there ensued this whole persecution of the man over who gave him this sight. Who gave him the ability to do it? It was about who? It was about the person of Christ. And it was about Christ violating the Sabbath. It was God who did it.
God who nourishes and strengthens us.
Bread and the wine are just means. And as the story unfolds in John in chapter 9, it's about who gave him the sight. It's not a request about how can I find this special formula or get this paste that can give new eyesight or fix other problems that people have. The story ends with worship, the worship of the Son of God. Again, look at verses 35 through 38. It wasn't about the paste. It wasn't about the clay. It wasn't even about the spittle. Do you believe on the Son of God? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? Verse 38, he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. This was a work of complete recreation. Not only receiving his physical sight, but getting spiritual sight. Are you ready for true confessions? That water that's in that bowl that Mary Catherine was baptized with, that water is the same hard water that stains our dishware in the kitchen. That water is the same hard water that stains our fixtures in the restrooms. But that same water God uses to mark his children. The bread and the wine that are sitting at this table. Sometimes homemade, sometimes store-bought, but it's the same bread and wine that God uses to nourish and to strengthen our souls. And the story here of the gospel is that, the story of the Bible is that God not only used means to create the world, but he uses means to recreate the new world, transforming all of us. The same bread and wine that God uses to nourish and to strengthen our souls. Today, what we've done and what we'll continue to do is to celebrate close encounters. Close encounters of the recreating kind. Let's pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage here in John chapter 9. And Lord, we all know this story. We know of the miracle. But Lord, do we see the pattern in Scripture? Do we see how creation is replicated? Do we see how you, in a special way, each Lord's Day, do your work of recreation, tearing us apart that you might put us back together? Lord, giving us spiritual insight where perhaps we had none before, or perhaps we had little before, and now we have more. You do a work such that in our lives, Lord, before we know you, before we know anything about you, we are dark. But we're now light. We praise you and thank you for this. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. And we ask that you would help us to be in an understanding, thankful, blessed way, be on the receiving end of this bread and wine that nourishes us, that strengthens us, that transforms us, that recreates us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.